Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Paroxysm, and today it's going to be a solo pod. I'm going to be going through everything that transpired at Cavs Media Day. I was there in person. I had the privilege to talk to a lot of Cavs, talk to David Griffin, talk to Tyronn Lue, and just get the feel of how this team is feeling as the season gets going. A lot did happen, as we've kind of hinted at on the show over the past couple weeks. There were some shoes to drop with this team. Still a lot of things that needed to be figured out. Still a lot of things that needed to sort of just play themselves out in a meaningful way. So we're just going to go through all of those, kind of give you an update of what's going on with this team on the start of training camp. And, you know, it was a pretty eventful day, everything considered. So we'll start with how this happened chronologically. So first off, David Griffin and Tyronn Lue come out. They're the first two to talk at the podium a little bit after 1 p.m. in Independence, Ohio, where the Cleveland Clinic courts are, which is where the Cavs practice. And they sit down. They sit down at the podium in front of a very large group of media. And David Griffin gives a statement, and he says, first off, J.R. Smith, you know, he's not here, obviously. And, you know, he basically says that he gave the Cavs have given J.R. a very competitive offer, to quote him. And that they hope the situation gets resolved soon. He also noted that it is a next-man-up mentality, so it's not something that he's too worried about, but he did feel like they hope they get him back and that he hopes J.R. is back in the fold. As he said, as we have stated and Coach previously stated, we think very highly of J.R. and we love him as a member of our team, as a member of our locker room, Griffin said. He was essential to our success, and for that reason, we have made an incredibly competitive and aggressive offer in re-signing him. Now, JR, of course, is looking for about $50 million a year. I would wonder what the Cavs offer is. We don't really know yet, but JR wasn't there, and that was pretty significant. Griffin addressed it right away, as I noted, and it was something that he just got out right in front of it, addressed it, didn't take any more questions on it, just said he didn't want to answer any more about it, so that's fair on his part. But, yeah, you know, he just got out and addressed it. Later on, LeBron James talked about it as well. You know, he said they wouldn't have won the title without JR, called him a two-way player, and said he hopes they get him back as soon as possible. Said he's the most liked guy in the locker room. And Tristan Thompson also talked about it. Said he hopes JR gets paid, also understands his business. Said the Cavs can't win a title without him. Some pretty vocal support from the Cavaliers players. And, you know, it's big. That was a pretty big thing for JR. We knew it was going to be talked about. We knew that it was going to be something that was going to be addressed, and it came out right away that it was going to be something they were going to address head-on. So that was pretty interesting. Nothing new on that front yet besides that, but pretty clear that everyone does want him back. Pretty clear that everyone in the Cavs organization wants him back. The players want him around. The coach and GM want him around. They just want it at the right price for what they're doing from their perspective, and that's fair. In that same opening statement, David Griffin also noted that Mo Williams had a change of heart, and that he has retired. Now, it was previously reported by Mo Williams tweeting something out and then confirmed by Dave McMenamin and Chris Haynes, who both work for ESPN, that Williams is going to come back next season. Williams himself took, as I noted, went to Twitter and said one more year. And this was a very last-minute change. According to Griffin, Williams' agent notified the team early Monday morning that he was going to retire, that he was not going to come back this year, and the team, according to Griffin, had been preparing for the situation, but it was a surprise. They said they were planning for the eventuality, and they also do say that they are comfortable where they are at point guard. They feel they are versatile. They feel that they can absorb minutes there with different guys, and because of LeBron, they can slide people in there defensively and let LeBron do some point guardy stuff. And they're also excited to see what they can get out of other young players. That includes Cade Felder, that includes Jordan McRae. Now, financially, this does save the Cavs money once it clears. It'll save $2.2 million off their books for this year. That's a good amount of savings. When that gets included in the tax, that's maybe a $4.4 million or $6 million savings, whatever it ends up being. It's somewhere in that range, and that's significant for a team with a very, very high payroll. Maybe that money can go to JR, and you can give it to him instead. Yeah, that's at least the hope if you're a Cavs player, and if you're a Cavs fan out there. But it begs a lot of questions. For one, I wonder now, do they have enough depth of point guard? I think it was already fair to question their depth of point guard because Williams was not extremely healthy. He was not he was not exactly at his best coming into this season. And, you know, Kay Feather is a very interesting prospect, but he's not great just yet. He's small, he has some work to do, and Jordan McRae is another guy that needs a little bit of work, needs a little bit of development still. And McRae's the guy that a lot of people harped on. Kyrie Irving spoke very highly of him during his time at the podium. He said he's been in there dedicating himself, not just in the weight room, but in the court, just developing his skills. And he said this year is a very important year for McRae. And Griffin also acknowledged that the team is happy with how McRae has developed as a player. And remember, McRae's a guy they signed from the Delaware 87ers in the D League last year. They spent money to keep him around. They've made him a guy they're going to develop into a potential rotation piece. They hope that it does translate directly into what he can do with the team. That being said, Griffin expressed some concern here. It was interesting that he noted something I have said on the show a couple times. So it's cool that, little wavelength there that I'm right in this case. Griffin acknowledged something I've said on the show, and that's that McRae really played as a primary ball handler during the summer. With the Cavs' summer league team, he was not a guy that was operating off ball, spotting up, and just doing some small ball handling abilities. He was really just a primary ball handler and scorer out of the one and two spots. With the Cavs, he's not going to play that role. Even if he's playing the one or the two, he's going to be spotting up, he's going to be cutting, he's going to be playing defense. As Griffin directly said, quote, "What Jordan did as a player in summer league was because we put the ball in his hand. We got to see him do things both as a point guard and a shooting guard. What we didn't get to see him do in summer league, because he wasn't playing with the types of players with our varsity, if you will, is he didn't get to play off the ball. What we need to see Jordan do is play the role he actually won on our team." That's a very fair assessment from David Griffin, in my opinion. You really do need to see McRae do some more things to feel more comfortable with what he is going to be this year. And Williams' retirement really does leave a hole. Now, it's already been reported by Joe Varden of Cleveland.com that the Cavs have contacted Norris Cole, Kirk Heinrich, and Mario Chalmers. We have run through some of these guys before, run through a lot of things that have transpired with that deal already. So, with potential deals already, just because those are guys that have been on Cavs fans' radars, been on people's minds as the offseason's gone on. Now, if I had to pick one of those guys, I would pick Norris Cole. I think Chalmers is, at his best, the better player, but I'll say this, he's coming off that Achilles injury. He's coming off of a significant injury that I really feel could hamper him moving forward. In Norris Cole, he's not a great shooter. He's a bit overrated as a defender, but I think he's a healthier player. I think he's a competent player, a little bit younger. I'm really out on the Kirk Heinrich thing. I don't get that. I don't think he's been good for a couple of years. That's a hard pass on Kirk Heinrich. And with Norris Cole, he's a little bit younger. I think he fills the role pretty well. If they do go out and get a point guard, I think he'd be a really good one-year fill gap. It allows you to develop Feather a little bit more. It still allows you to play McRae, but maybe more as a two. And I think that's fine. I think that's an ideal situation. Now, if with Williams gone, they will have two roster spots. Some of you out there will note that DeAndre Liggins, who was reported today, has a partially guaranteed deal. Might have a leg up to make the team because of that, but it may not even be guaranteed if he doesn't make the team. There's all these things with him that are a little more complicated. And I wouldn't say 100% sure he is going to be on the team from day one. I would even argue Markel Brown is a better long-term fit. And just a better player right now than Liggins is, so I wouldn't put too much stock into that just quite yet. But they do have two spots if they do want to use one of those on a point guard and have someone around to help them behind Kyrie Irving and replace Mo Williams. They have the ability to do that. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Now, moving on. The big thing today that came out was that there was a lot of protest talk. Obviously, with Amon Shumpert rapping about it, with David Griffin addressing it early, with LeBron James being who he is, this came up early. They talk about Colin Kaepernick. They talked about everything in relation to this. Griffin and Lou addressed it first. And I will say this. Both were very eloquent, but Griffin especially so to me really gave a great answer. He was not asked this question directly. Whoever asked the question, and the name is not on my mind right now, but asked Lou this question. Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com went to ask another question, and a Cavs PR person said, Griff wants to answer this. So Griff decided to take this on himself, gave a very eloquent answer, just one of the most thoughtful answers of the day, probably the most thoughtful answer of the day. And he's proud of, he's proud of being a league that wants to bring full change, and he wants to see him talk about it as a group. It was just very thought out. You can clear this has been on his mind, that he cares about this in a meaningful way. So Griff deserves a lot of credit for that answer. You can check out both their answers, by the way, over at Fear the Sorter on my Twitter, at CWMWrites. I took video of it at Media Day, so make sure to check those out. Make sure to view those and just kind of take a look at what they're saying. Griffin's, again, especially, is great, and you can tell that as an organization, this matters to the Cavs. You can tell that they're thinking about this. You can tell they're going to address it in some way. I don't know what that's exactly going to be. Based on what LeBron said, I don't think it's going to be them sitting during the national anthem a la Colin Kaepernick. LeBron said in his quote that I will stand. He basically said he will stand for the anthem. He supports Colin Kaepernick, and he's going to be involved in some way, but it doesn't seem like he's going to sit. And for what it's worth, it is a violation of NBA rules to sit during the national anthem. And that's sort of important to note there at least a little bit. And LeBron also had a very poignant quote during this. He said he was scared for his 12-year-old son, LeBron Jr., being able to go out in the world, especially when he can drive in a few years. And he had this to say. Quote, you see these videos that continue to come out. It's a scary ass situation that if my son calls me and said if he got pulled over, that I'm not confident that things are going to go well and my son is going to return home. My son just started the sixth grade. That is a very just strong quote from LeBron. You can see the full context of that quote and his full statements, which I know some people are picking apart a little bit on Twitter right now because he said all lives matter, but the context of what he's saying there is radically different than what someone who is racist or doesn't understand things like LeBron does is saying it. So just remember that when you kind of critique him by saying, quote, all lives matter. But he was very, very just on point, very, you could tell he was thinking about this. You could tell everyone on the team that was asked about this was thinking about this. And it's important. I mean, this is going to be a discussion, I think, that isn't going to go away. I know politics annoy sports fans sometimes. I know that it isn't always fun to blend them, but it's inevitable. And also would say this, Kyrie Irving said something that I think very much stood out to me today. He was asked about this, and he said basically that why do we always look to athletes to solve all these problems? You know, and you could take whatever you want, but it isn't just us looking to athletes to do it to change what's going on in the country right now. It really is about doing something ourselves and kind of having a dialogue about this. It isn't just on them to solve everything and to raise awareness, and I think that's pretty fair. If you're so inclined, I mean, you can't just rely on star athletes to do that for you, and I think that's a very fair assessment from Kyrie. And as for Shumpert, who obviously rapped about this, who said he would take it, he's backtracked on that. And backtracking is a negative term, obviously, and I think he's just reevaluated. It is a better way to put it, because I think Shumpert is a very thoughtful guy. And so he said this, quote, after talking with my teammates in the organization, it's better for me to do something about it with them than to only do it individually. I think a lot of it came from me making that song in an emotional state. It was good for me to get it out, to let people know that what's going on is not okay. But at the same token, I want to make sure I stand with my team, and whatever my team decides to do, I'll be doing it with them. As long as we come to a consensus, I'll be doing it with them. That is a very strong statement by Shumpert. I would expect the Cavs as a team to keep discussing this, to keep being asked about this. I'll certainly be reporting on this as much as I can because I find it highly fascinating and important. And I would just note that it's not going to go away. This is, if you're annoyed by this, I'm sorry. This is going to be around. Protests are going to be part of what the NBA talks about at the beginning of the year because of what's going on in America right now with how scary it is, frankly, for some people, for a lot of people in this country, people that don't deserve to be scared. So just take note of that and enjoy the basketball and just know that these guys are going to talk about this and it's not going anyway and just try to understand it. To kind of wrap this up, there were just a few other notes I want to point out. For one, Channing Frye will wear number 8 this year. He wore number 9 last year. Obviously, Matthew Dellavedova wore number 8 last year. Funny enough, he wore number 9 originally, and he switched to 8 when the Cavs acquired the Will Dang. So just a funny little roundabout there with the numbers. Shoe watch, Kyrie Irving wore a pair of Kyrie 1s instead of some Kyrie 2s, which just, you know, that's just a little interesting thing. Tristan Thompson, Birdman Anderson, Corey Jefferson, and James Jones all rocked wine and white LeBron Soldier 10s. Shumpert, by the way, an Adidas guy last season, wore a pair of Nike Kyrie 2s. LeBron also hinted at, kind of by what he was wearing, a pair of LeBron 3s that are could be part of a future retro line. Jordan Zerm, a really good Twitter follow out there from Stack Media, pointed this out, and it could be a retro line. Doesn't have a nickname yet, but they're coming soon, it seems like. And Kevin Love, we haven't even talked about him yet. He did no longer looks like Caveman or David Foster Wallace. He cut his hair. He's back to GQ Kevin Love. He seems in a very good mood. He spent all summer in Utah at elevation getting stronger. He said, you know, it was a big summer for him because he looks stronger. He said he is stronger. And at this time last year, or during the summer at least, he could not even lift a 15 to 20 pound dumbbell over his head to do workouts. He said he just feels better. And he just is very excited. He seemed in a very good place. Everyone on this team seemed very relaxed. I mean, they didn't seem caught in the moment. They didn't seem worried about what's to come. And they just seemed very happy. Mike Dunleavy, the Cavaliers' offseason acquisition, one of them at least, said, you know, he noted that the Cavs in the past did have interest in him, but he wanted to play for better teams. And last summer he did consider them too, but he went back to Chicago. As for the trade this year, he said the deal really came out of nowhere, to paraphrase, and it wasn't right until before it happened that he thought it might be a possibility. He first realized that it might be in the move after the Bulls signed Dwayne Wade to that 2-year, $47 million deal, and then to sign Wade, the Bulls obviously had to clear some cap space. And, you know, Dunleavy, he was thankful. He said the Bulls could have sent me anywhere. He was lucky that they sent him to Cleveland. He called it Christmas in July, which is a pretty fun statement for him. And he was just a very happy guy to be in Cleveland. He's very excited to play with LeBron. And all that. So that was a cool moment from Dunleavy. Very well-spoken guy. Cool to have him around to talk to you as well. To kind of wrap things up, Tristan Thompson, who also did talk about JR, was asked about the Warriors, and this is a good way to wrap this up. About them adding Durant and the challenge of facing them this season, he said, quote, "Bring it. We'll see them on Christmas, and we get to bump it." This team, I think, is very excited about playing these Warriors. I think they're, you know, ready for that challenge. They're ready to thrive on that motivation. And Tristan exemplifies that by him saying, "Bring it." It was a very cool moment. He got very serious. He's a very jokey guy, but he just came out right and said it, and it was a cool moment. Just to kind of wrap the show up today. Thank you for listening. It's been a solo pod. It was fun to just recap Media Day. It was my first Media Day as a NBA reporter, and it was a lot to handle. It was a lot to see, but it was really cool. Got to meet some cool people. Got to talk to a lot of players. Got to just interact and have a good time. Cleveland Clinic Courts is a great place to have it in Independence. And it was, you know, it's a good way to start off the year for me. I'm really excited to be doing this podcast, covering the team in person more this year, now that I live back in the Cleveland area. And it was pretty cool. If you want to read a full recap, written version of that is in the iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitch or whatever bio, or in, find that on my Twitter at CW Wright. It is my pinned tweet right now. You can find that if you're the face room on the jersey, which is pretty cool. So take note of that as well. And thanks again, Matt Moore, was so nice enough to join the show yesterday, which was great. So make sure that you still have time to submit questions to our Twitter at Lights. And if you like the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. It helps other people find the show.